Today I want to preach a message entitled, The Storm. And I know that this is this passage of Scripture and others like it where Jesus walked on the water often are talked about. We've talked about it in the past on Tuesday nights. I've shared from different places in Scripture where there is a storm that takes place. But today I want to just share with you some things about this particular storm that I believe will encourage you, that will minister to you, and hopefully will help you along the way. Because there are times in our lives, and it seems like, especially now more than ever before, there are things that approach our lives and happen to us that makes us feel like we are in the midst of a storm. We in this part of the country are not unfamiliar with storms, with bad thunderstorms, the potential for tornadoes, or as my nephew Aaron says, tornadoes. We are not unfamiliar with that. And we just witnessed this past spring, the devastating tornadoes that took place down south in Alabama, in St. Louis, in other places throughout the country. And then this fall on the East Coast, the hurricanes up in New England and along the eastern seaboard that brought the flooding and all of the devastation, the heavy rains. Things can come and nobody can stop it. I have never seen anybody walk out into an open field where there is a tornado touching down and just looking up at the tornado and saying, "Now you get out of here, be gone," and it's gone. It folds back up into the sky and the rain stops. There isn't anybody who has done that except for Jesus. And that storm that took place can be likened to the kinds of storms that you and I go through. And we're just going to deal with some things that are here, but I want you to look at starting at verse 23. The Bible says this. It says, when he got into the boat and his disciples followed him, without warning, I want you to see that's very important, without warning, or as another translation says, suddenly. Things happen in our lives suddenly. A furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. Verse 25 says, the disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" That's a powerful verse of Scripture. We'll get to that in just a few moments. Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Storms in many forms can lead to great devastation. There's no doubt that some of the things that people go through in life and the financial struggles, the physical struggles, emotional struggles, and even at times spiritual struggles that people have are likened to storms that occur because of how violent they can be and the kind of devastation that often happens in somebody's life. You and I have witnessed over the last few years the financial storm that has taken the world, literally the whole world. People are worried. They're wondering what's going to happen. No politicians have a fix. There isn't anybody who sits there and says, "I got this." They got a plan. You know what? They put their plan into motion. I was just noticing the other day. They said, "We want this super committee," whatever the super committee was supposed to do. But the super committee to get together and approve and get this budget balanced out and planned out and to be able to cut the budget and save money. And they say, but it won't go into effect until 2013. We're still in 2011, folks. So in other words, for the next year, they're still going to spend hand over fist in order for, you know, to keep the lifestyle up. But you know what, brothers and sisters, the storm that has taken the world has people worried. You might have a storm in your life, and you might wonder how in the world you're ever going to make it. There might be emotional struggles. There might be physical struggles that appear to be a storm in your life, and you don't know what the fix is. You don't know how to be able to handle it. And time after time, we sit around and we wonder what it is that we're going to do, how to fix it, how to work it out, and we don't have an answer. I got to tell you today, the answer for the disciples was lying right in the boat. The answer for your life and for my life, brothers and sisters, is in your life already. If you are here and you profess to know Jesus Christ and you have given Jesus your heart, you need to know that the answer is not something on the outside. The answer is, always has been, and always will be Jesus. Now, there are three things that I want you to notice about this storm. First of all, it's so basic and simple, but the storm came. The storm came. The storm came, as it often does with us. But it was a powerful storm, and it was unpredictable in its forecast and its outcome. It seems as though most of these disciples were fishermen. They were men who were out on the sea. They were always out there. And so they were not foreign to the idea of there being a storm from time to time. But in many ways, it is those kinds of storms that are unpredictable. They are unpredictable in the fact that you weren't expecting it. Maybe they couldn't have forecasted it somehow. These days of technology, we can forecast pretty much the storms that are headed from west to east, and we can see what's going on and what's going to happen. We have an idea, but in those days, you had to read the sky. Maybe the sky was unreadable at that point. It was unpredictable what was going to happen, and something happened on that sea, on that lake, that particular day that caused these disciples to be horribly and terribly afraid. But furthermore, it was unpredictable in its outcome. And that is the scary part of the storms in our lives. We don't know how it's going to work out. Now, if you're like many people, you are the eternal pessimist. You say, this is not going to end well. Or you could be an optimist. I believe it's going to be okay. Either way, it's a guess. It's a guess. You don't know how it's going to work out. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what the storms in your life will result in and how the effects will happen. But there is something, brothers and sisters, that we have to get a hold of, and it is the fact that Jesus is not far from any one of us. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, just so you know, that's not just for unsaved folks, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, a couple of things I want you to notice about this storm. First of all, it was something that was outward. It was an outward storm. There are things that come our way that sometimes aren't calmed by the presence of Jesus. Not every storm is quelled by him. He allowed this storm to come. You got to understand that Jesus, though he was a man, he also was fully God at the same time. He knew when he got into that boat, laid his head down, wherever he laid his head down in the boat, and went to sleep, he knew what was coming, folks. He knew it. And he didn't stop it. Most of us think if he knows about it, he should stop it. This gives us and gives many atheists a hand up in the world. When we begin to assume that because there is evil, evil should be stopped by God. There is nothing in Scripture that indicates that God should or would or does stop the evil that is present in the world. And in this case, many people think, well, Jesus should have just stopped the storm. He was getting in the boat with them. He should have just made it smooth sailing all the way across. But he doesn't do that. There are times in our lives where he allows the storms to come to help us to understand that he is always with us. And he is present in our situation. Now, he is going to take care of this storm, folks. You need to know that. Don't somehow get in your head that Jesus isn't going to speak peace to your storm, because he will speak peace. But you also have to know that there are times where the adversity comes and the pain comes, and it's something that happens from the outside that you can't stop, and he doesn't. Now, there are things that can affect all of us. Maybe a family member that's in constant and persistent state of rebellion against you, or worse, against God. Maybe it is. That is a storm in your life. It's constantly swirling. A mother's heart breaks for her children who are going their own way, doing their own thing. And they, you know, sometimes they talk the line, they say the right story, they give the right words, but nothing seems to change. Nothing seems to be happening, and they're still as rebellious against God as they used to be. And there is a storm there, and you cry out, "Oh God, how long? How long?" Yet it still seems to happen. Maybe a financial crisis that doesn't seem to have an end in sight. You don't know where it's going to end. You don't know how it's going to end. You don't know what's going on and how to be able to handle it. It could be a health problem that, though you have prayed for healing many times, no healing has come. And there is this storm that is just sort of swirling around in your life, and you're wondering how it is that you're going to be able to make it. It could be an unloving relationship that seems to have no resolution. Whether it is between a mother and a child, or a father and a child, or in a relationship, maybe a marriage is breaking apart and splitting apart. It could be that there seems to be no way of fixing the issue and fixing the problem. There doesn't seem to be a way out of the situation, and this storm is coming from the outside. You can't stop it. What are you going to do? You see, most of us are afraid of what's on the outside. Can I tell you today that I believe what we need to be concerned about the most is what's happening on the inside. The inner storm, the inward storm is characterized in this way. Jesus reproved his disciples. He spoke to them and said to them these words: "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" I want you to think about this for a minute. The storm is happening on the outside. There's a squall that's come up, and it's bad enough to make these fishermen be terribly afraid for their lives. It's so bad that they wonder what's going to happen. The boat is being rocked to and fro, and they don't know what's going to take place and how it's all going to end. And this storm is happening on the inside. And Jesus, though he speaks to the storm, also speaks to their hearts. And brothers and sisters, this is where the outward storm often becomes worse than it actually is. Because in the inside, there's all these bad things that begin to race in our minds and in our hearts. All these negative things. All of these things about how bad it's going to turn out. How terrible it's going to be. Nobody really understands how bad my situation is. Nobody really understands what's going on in my life. My situation's bad. And let me tell you something. I got to tell you, if you would be willing to take a good look into somebody else's life and the things that they have to deal with, you might have a second thought on that and realize that you are not the only one who has faced problems in your life. It's not just you. Jesus was more concerned about the inward storm. He was more concerned about what was going on the inside of these fishermen's hearts and these disciples' hearts. He wanted to know what was happening. He reproved them and said, "You of little faith." God is more concerned about our reactions to the adversities that we have faced within our lives. He is more concerned with how are you reacting to the storm on the outside. Yes, it might be bad, but what's happening in your heart? What was Jesus looking for in his disciples? Could it be that he was looking for them to have the quiet confidence that everything was going to be all right because he was in the boat? What do you think? Jesus was going to let the boat turn over and everybody drown? Do you think Jesus was going to let his disciples, whom he had chosen, you know, get into a situation where all of a sudden now it's worse than anything that they had ever experienced, and now they're all just going to perish on the sea? Do we somehow think that with God being present in our lives, that God is going to allow his children to come to the place where they give up? Do you think God is going to let things happen in such a way that will bring about in your life something that will say, that's it, God, you broke your promise? No, let God be true and every man be a liar. Brothers and sisters, if he's in your boat, he's going to help you. If he's in your boat, you need to run to him. I'm getting ahead of myself. But when he's in your boat, you need to recognize there is somebody who has power over the storm. Jesus was more concerned about what was going on the inside of their hearts. He wanted to make sure that they understood he was right there. Jesus was not going to let them be destroyed, even though there was the storm that brought terror into these men's hearts. What is it that rules your response? Is it the storm, or is it the one who's walking with you in the storm? You see, you could recount over and over again places in Scripture where God allowed the storm to hit, where God allowed his people to go through what would seem to be a terrifying situation. You think about David facing Goliath. Why was there a Goliath? So we would have a David and Goliath story. So we would have a story of an overcomer. So we'd have a story of somebody who was less than being able to overcome the giant. We would have somebody who is able to recognize that God's bigger than the giant that stood in front of him. Why do we have a three Hebrew boys, three being thrown into a fiery furnace? So we could see that in the midst of the furnace, there is a fourth man that always will walk with his people and not allow them to be taken out of the game. The world might go down, but brothers and sisters, you are made out of the right stuff when you let Jesus in the boat and you recognize there's a fourth man who's walking with you. They stood there and they said, King, we don't have to answer you in this matter. If God allows us to go in here and we die, we're still not going to bow to the idols of that world. That is commitment, brothers and sisters. That is what God is looking for. He's looking for men and women that says, you know what, the storm is coming. I don't like it. It's painful. It hurts. It doesn't feel nice. Nobody likes the storm, but I got to tell you, there is still somebody in the midst of the storm with you. There's still somebody in the boat with you. There's still somebody who is there to help you. Now, the storm came. The other thing that you need to recognize about the storm is it was beyond human control. No amount of human intervention would change the storm. They couldn't change it. They couldn't prevent it. It couldn't be stopped. And oftentimes with things like that that can't be stopped, when there seems to be no human control in the situation, there is one thing that grips your heart more than anything else, and it's called fear. Fear. Somebody once said that fear is nothing more than an acronym for false evidence appearing real. And I like that appearing because it indicates that it's not really real. It's just something that is false. We blow it out of proportion. Fear begins to grip our hearts. When something's beyond human control, it usually brings the greatest of fear into our hearts. As human as a response as fear is, there is no room for it in our relationship with Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus was in the boat during the storm. He was asleep, but they woke him up when the storm was still raging. He knew how powerful the storm was. He knew how difficult the storm was. Jesus didn't come alongside of John and say, no, John, it's going to be okay, buddy. You know what he said? You have little faith. You know what? If I were to say that to some of you, God, help me. It might be the last time you come to this church. You have little faith.
Where's your faith?
See, we pastors, we have to be a little more, you know. Jesus just stood up, looked at his disciples, said, you have little faith. You know, you kind of imagine a little bit if he's not looking at them like shaking his head. Just, what's wrong with you guys? I'm right here. I'm right here. It's like when little kids are you know, afraid of something. Our littlest one still from time to time has fears, you know, in the night. And, you know, so the closet door that we leave the light on in the closet still has to be open a little bit more than the night before. Because on that particular night, and I try to reassure, I say, but Riley, we're right here in the house. We're right here. No, but you got to open it. Open it, but we're here. Mommy and Daddy are in the house. Jamie's in the next room. She's going to sleep. We're right here. Jesus is saying, I am right here. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Do you really think, guys, that this whole thing is going to be going to happen the way that it's imagined, being imagined in your heads right now? Do you really think that it's going to come out in that way? Brothers and sisters, God is not looking for human responses. He is looking for us to have the kind of response that is based on the knowledge of his presence with us. In other words, the storm can rage, but we can say with a sureness in our hearts and an assurance in our lives that he is right here with us. We don't have to fear. In fact, you will find in Scripture, if you read through both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that God is always assuring his people of his presence to the point where fear is never put up on a pedestal as something that you should attain and reach for. It's always something to be defeated. It's always something to be thrown aside. In place of it is always supposed to be faith. Fear is not the only feeling that begins to take hold in our hearts. If we allow fear to come, here's what else can happen. Despair can come. How do we know that? Well, they said, we're going to drown. There's no hope. None whatsoever. We're going to drown in this situation. Fear and desperation always assumes the worst, because despair is the complete loss or absence of hope. Despair says there's no hope. It's the absence of hope in your life. Imagine this. The hope of all the world was laying there in the boat, and they said, we're going to drown. Fellas, this is it for us. I don't know why he picked me to be a disciple. I'd be at home right now. You know, things would be going a little easier for me. Be with my wife, my kids. But no, I'm out here on this boat, and now we're going to drown. Despair. Not only that, frustration can enter in. Sometimes we get upset. We get annoyed because we know that there isn't anything that we can do to change the situation. Well, I got to tell you, there, you might think in your mind, at least for a while, that there's nothing that you can do. There is one thing that you can do, and we're going to see what they did. But you see, fear comes, and then there's also something else comes, that when something is beyond our human control, there is blindness that is involved. You see, when something that hits that is beyond human control, it often blinds us to his perspective. Case in point, the disciples feared, but Jesus asked, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? What did Jesus see or know that they did not? He knew how powerful he was. He saw his ability to overcome the storm. Brothers and sisters, in our lives, we might for a moment be blinded by how big the storm is, how bad it is, how troublesome it might be. But I want to remind you, you need to begin to see, and this is where faith really comes in. This is what faith is. It is beginning to see as God sees. It's not seeing the way that you see. The way that we see is hopeless, folks. The way you think about human plans and implementation of their plans of trying to, you know, work situations out and work problems out in the world. The world is in upheaval. And yet in the midst of all of that, brothers and sisters, God has a view, brothers and sisters, that is bigger than any view that you and I can have. So we have to say, Lord, let us see what you see so that we can believe that in the midst of our storm, there will be something that will be changed. You of little faith, why are you so afraid? He knew the power of the storm, and yet he still asked, why are you so afraid? Your storm might be powerful this morning. Question is, why are you so afraid? Why do you fear? Why are you so afraid of whatever it is that is barraging your life and just bombarding you and surrounding you? Why are you so afraid? Pastor, how can you ask that? You know, I got to tell you, we're all cut from the same cloth. But yet this is a reminder to all of us that says God is greater than anything that we are going through today. He is bigger than your storm. We need to begin to get his perspective instead of our perspective, which is so very limited. Now, one final thing that I need you to see about this storm, and it is this, that Jesus calmed the storm. Seems like he let it go for a little bit, but at the very least, you know, almost as soon as these guys, you know, they're frantic, we're gonna drown. All of a sudden, Jesus stood, and the Bible says in verse 26, then he got up and he rebuked the storm, the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. No one else could do this. There still isn't anyone else or anything else that can accomplish this. The storm that rages inside of you will never be calmed by anything or anyone but Jesus. The cheap imitations you try to put into your life, the cheap entertainment that you try to get to somehow get some sort of satisfaction can never replace that which only Jesus can do for you. There isn't anything or anyone who can fix your storm. There isn't anything in your life. Listen, you talk to an addict and the addict will tell you, the storms didn't go away, though I exited the storms for a moment. They were still there when I woke up. Nobody, nothing can take away those storms. Well, that relationship that I thought was going to be so wonderful did not take away the storms in my life. Brothers and sisters, there isn't anything. There isn't anybody who can fix it the way Jesus can. There isn't anybody who can speak peace to your storm the way Jesus can speak peace to your storm. He is the only one. The storm that rages inside you will never be calmed by anything else but Jesus. Now, he calms the storm in your heart that was created by fear. So how does he do this? Two ways. First, his presence. Even in the disciples' weak humanity, even in their fleshly, fear-filled response to the storm, they knew enough to do one thing. Go get Jesus. Go wake him up. How he's not awake yet, I'll never know. He's like my brother-in-law, Ed. Ed could sleep through anything. And then when he wants to wake up, he'll wake up. But, you know, he was just asleep. The boat's going crazy. Maybe water's coming in. Jesus, sleep. Not sleeping like a baby, mind you. Babies wake up every 2 hours, folks. Can we be reminded of that? That saying is actually not true. Sleep like a baby. Not a good thing. Jesus is just asleep.
And all of a sudden, in the midst of all of that, these disciples come, Jesus, wake up. Jesus, you see, he was right there in the boat with him. And brothers and sisters, I got to tell you what these disciples did. All of us need to do in the midst of our storm. He's not asleep, by the way. But in the midst of our storm, you need to run to him the way the disciples did. At least they knew enough to run to the Savior and say, Lord, you need to enter into this situation. Now it's beyond our control. We can't fix it. We can't change it. So, Lord, we are coming to you in this moment. And brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today, whatever storm you're faced with, it's time for you and I to run to Jesus. Go to him. His presence helps to calm the storm. Not only that, but his word. His word. The enemy wants to keep you from this. The enemy wants to do his best to keep you from the word of God. If he can, he will. He will use whatever distraction. He will use whatever excuse. He will use whatever problem, whatever difficulty. He will use anything and everything just to make sure you don't crack it open. Say, oh, come on now. Don't tell me it's the devil. You know I'm busy. My life is busy. I work 3 jobs. I got kids to feed. I got, you know, homework to look at. I've got all of these things. And we make excuse after excuse after excuse. And yet all the while the devil is sitting in the corner saying they're getting more overwhelmed. They're getting more overwhelmed. And the problems are coming. The storm's coming. And they're not going to have anything to do to be able to make it out. Brothers and sisters, I got to tell you, you got to have the word. We've got to have the word. His rebuke was one of authority and made the disciples know that Jesus was in complete control over that which they had no control over. You only get that from the word of God. You can only get that by looking into the word and seeing how great, how powerful, how mighty God is and what it is that he is able to accomplish in your life. The longer you stay out of it, the more of it you're going to forget. If you don't use it, you lose it. We've got to get into the word of God because the word of God is what's going to help us to understand how he creates calm in the midst of a storm and how he is able even to calm that storm. You see, when he calms the storm, not only does he do it and get rid of that which was created by fear, but when he calms the storm, faith is renewed. This is what God wants to accomplish in our lives. This is what God really wants to work out in us, that we would not see the storm as something that should bring fear, but we would see the storm as something that will encourage our faith, that will cause us to believe that he is in the midst of our problem. When fear in your heart has been driven away by the rebuke of the master, faith comes. When you allow him and you say, Lord, you enter the situation and all of a sudden there is a calmness. You say, not much has changed around me, but all of a sudden, remember the inward storm that we just talked about a few moments ago? The inward storm, all of a sudden, there's peace. Why? Because you've let him speak to your heart. You've let him calm the storm in your heart and in your life. And as a result of that, faith begins to arise. You begin to realize, yes, God's word is true. I can trust in his word more than anything else. I don't ever have to let fear control me again and let faith be choked out of my life. Don't let faith get choked out, brothers and sisters. It's the only way that you and I are ever going to overcome in this life. The only way that you can overcome temptation and sin is by faith. The only way that you can overcome the battle that you're faced with today is by faith. Fear isn't going to fix it. In fact, fear is going to make it worse for you. But the inner storm can be calmed at the word and at the presence of Jesus, so that faith rises in your heart and is renewed. When he calms the storm, it brings about a desire to know him more. Look at verse 27. Verse 27 says, after, and this is after Jesus had calmed the storm, the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? even the winds and the waves obey him. See what's happening here? They want to know more of him. When he speaks peace to your storm, brothers and sisters, it's not so that you can then go about your life and, you know, skip out of your prayer closet all happy and wonderful and everything is good, and then all of a sudden you forget about who spoke to your storm. But instead, it is so that you will come out of that situation and say, I've got to know this man more and more and more. I've got to know him. I've got to get as close to him as I can possibly get. I've got to get as close to Jesus as I possibly can and see who he is and see what he can do in my situation. These men sat there and said, what kind of man is this? We got to know him more and more and more. Remember a number of years ago when I was a teenager, and just as dumb as I could be, just a stupid teenager, we used to ask the stupidest question until one day the youth leader in our church, who somehow the Lord saw to take him long before we all felt he should ever go, died at the young age of 33. He was our youth leader. We loved this man like he was family. My family, his family were always very close, but he was one of these guys who was just exuberant about life. He loved the Lord more than anything. And remember one time we asked him, we said, Dwayne, how close can you get to sin and still be all right with God? Think about how stupid that is. What a dumb question. How close can you get to sin? Of course, we're teenagers and temptations all around. I mean, just anything and everything. How close can you get to sin and still be okay with God? In other words, you know, we want to have a little bit of fun, but we want to make sure that if Jesus comes back, we're going to go to heaven. Remember him saying to us on this particular occasion, he said, why would you even think about getting as close to the sin? When you are near a cliff, do you want to see how close you can get to the edge of that cliff before you fall off? He said, what you really should be asking is, how close can I get to Jesus and not feel the effects of sin and temptation? And brothers and sisters, these men had a desire to know Jesus more and more because he spoke peace to their situation and to their storm. Brothers and sisters, this ought to move us and motivate us to get as close to Jesus as we possibly can. Why? Because there isn't anybody who can speak peace to a storm that will come. Maybe you're sitting here today and things are pretty good. There will be another one somewhere along the way. It will come, and it will be beyond your control. You won't be able to stop it. You won't be able to change it. You won't be able to push it back and say no. But you can know this, that in the midst of that uncontrollable, unpreventable storm, that he will always be in the midst of that storm, and he will calm your storm. He might not take care of the outward circumstances right away. Those things might not go away, but I got to tell you, the real reality of the truth of this passage is what was happening on the inside of those disciples. And brothers and sisters, that really is where the storm rages for all of us. It rages on the inside. It is the inside that God is concerned about today. It is what's happening in your heart and in your mind. And for many, the storm rages there worse than it's raging on the outside. We've got to say, Lord, we're going to run to you. We're going to do what the disciples did. In fact, I wonder if we could stand right now, and everybody in this place, I'd like you to just make your way to the front right now today. And then the closing moments of this meeting today, we're just going to pray. And we're going to ask God that whatever the situation is, whatever the storm is that you are facing, that today you would begin to reach out to him and say, Lord, we're going to run to you. Maybe you walked into the building today and you just weren't going to reach out to the Lord. You just weren't going to do it. You're just going to somehow make it through the service, go home, and things be the same. But you know, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way, because he's in the boat with you. He's here with you today. He is here to meet your need. He's here to strengthen you today. I want you to reach out to the Lord today, right now, in faith. Say, Lord, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to run to you in the midst of my storm. You know what my storm is. You know how difficult it is. But God, I want faith to arise in my heart right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we call upon your name today, oh God. We pray, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would come right now into this room. That, Lord God, you would touch your people, oh God. Lord, you see the great difficulties of their hearts and their minds, oh God. Lord, you see what it is that they're dealing with and going through, oh God. I pray, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would have your way today. Oh God, I pray that you would strengthen them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we call upon you right now and we pray for your touch in our lives in this moment. You see the storms, oh God, that are raging in people's lives. You see what's going on around them, oh God. And though many things we cannot control, what we can control today is our ability to run to you. What we can do is come to you. Seek your help, O God, and ask for you to speak your word into our hearts, into our minds, O God, that it might calm our spirit and calm our hearts. Dear Lord Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you today. We love you, Jesus. And Lord, today I pray for your people that you would strengthen each one, O God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, strengthen each heart and each mind today, oh God, to serve you, to live for you, to give their all to you, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, dear God, today we pray for those things that are raging on the inside. Dear God, I pray that you would speak peace to our hearts. Let faith arise in our hearts, oh God, to believe for the impossible. Dear God, today we need your touch. We need your power. We need your glory, oh God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would have your way, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. You are worthy of all the praise. You are worthy of all the praise, oh God. Lord, we glorify you. Hallelujah. I want you to just begin to thank him and praise him right now. Begin to thank him and praise him for what he's going to do in your life, how he's going to change your heart and your life in a way that you have never, ever dreamed, how it is that he's going to minister to the needs of your life. Lord, we thank you today. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We praise you today, oh God. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Oh, how we magnify your name. We magnify your name, Jesus. Oh, we honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. Hallelujah to you, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We magnify your name. Oh, you're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy to be praised. You're worthy, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. I worship you. Hallelujah. I magnify your name. I magnify your name. Worthy are you, Jesus. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy, worthy, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, Lord. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we glorify your name. We glorify your name, oh God. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you. Lord, you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy, oh God. Hallelujah. We want to know you more and more, oh God. We want to know you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we praise you today. We praise you, oh God. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He desires to speak peace into your life, into your heart. Not every situation that surrounds you is going to be quelled. Not every problem. We know that is as a reality, but I got to tell you that the one thing that Jesus wanted there to be peace in was the hearts of those disciples. And I believe that we can have that in every situation. We can have his peace. We've just got to reach out to him more and more and say, Lord, I need you. I need your touch today. I need your help. Beyond this day, when you're faced with your trouble and your difficulty, reach out to him. He is still, as the old song says, he is still the peace speaker. He will speak peace to your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn and greet one another today as you go in the joy and in the love of the Lord. We're so good, glad that you all are here. Trust that you come out Tuesday night to pray and seek the Lord.